In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. A reading from Acts. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Congregation, please read the bold print. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. A reading from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
To St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems like for us human beings, there's a sense that we quite never have enough. We're always wanting more. And even when we have that feeling of full satisfaction, it's a fleeting feeling. It doesn't sit for long. It eventually goes away. And certainly there are many reasons in our world today that can facilitate such a feeling. We compare ourselves to other people. As the commandment warns against, we covet what our neighbors have. So we determine that we do not have enough or that we are lacking when we use other people as our measuring stick. In our age, social media makes this worse. We look at what other people are posting about their lives, about their families, which isn't even a real projection. It's a projection, but not always reality of what their lives and what their family life is like. And we use that as a measuring stick to compare their life or their projection of their life to ours. In our society, advertising and consumerism promote the notion that materialism is the key to having a happy and fulfilled life. Particularly in our culture, there's a high value on wealth and materialism as a sign of one's success. We celebrate that. Some people are wired either by nature or trauma of their past experiences to feel as if they can quickly fall into a life of scarcity. Because of that fear of one day not having enough, it can create a behavior of hoarding one's resources. And then on a psychological level, I believe our brains are wired to remember the negative experiences of the past rather than the positive ones. So we might remember when we've lost more than we've gained. And that also creates a fear of not having enough. Now, we teach our children to share, but I don't know as adults we do a good job in living up to what we teach our children. In our culture, I'm not sure if we've encountered many Christians who take the Bible so literally that they insist that we follow the example of Acts chapter 2. all who believed were together and had all things in common, they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. These verses in Acts chapter 2 teach us about Christian life, community, and the stewardship we are called to. Now, let me be clear, this isn't a call to legalism or to try to impose a literalism based on this text. It would be hard, if not nearly impossible, to cultivate some kind of culture like that today. Yet at the same time, it is an invitation for each of us to evaluate our relationship with God, our relationship to the church, and our relationship to the community, to truly evaluate our sense of what it means to have enough, to not use the measuring sticks of this fallen world to determine if we're lacking or if we are successful. That, I believe, is absolutely what we're called to do when we hear this word. It's hard to see a need or to serve the common good when we see ourselves in competition with one another, when we are consumed with coveting what the other has. And in congregational life, we try to discern how to use our resources. We are often tempted to think if people truly need what we have, or if they deserve what we want to give, if they maybe might have enough and don't need any more. But as followers of Jesus, as people who seek to bear witness to God, do we have anything in common with God? Do we have anything in common with the God that we claim to worship and serve? Do we have anything in common with our God who creates and gives out of love? Do we have anything in common with our God who took on our humanity and ultimately giving his life so that our world would return to paradise? See, the type of community that we see in Acts is a community that is sharing more than just their possessions. They are bearing witness to the love and generosity of the God that they encounter in their community and in worship. And the good news is that when we encounter Christ, we realize that we have more than enough. And while never perfect, I think our own community can concretely point to how much we can do in this world, in this community, when we share things in common and distribute to those in need. I think of the quilts that our peacemakers make that are distributed throughout the world. Last week we heard of the impact that our 621 project was able to achieve in supporting the Cardington Community Food Pantry. Our Bountiful Backpacks ministry gives food to families that get them through the weekend. Our weekly community meal helps feed so many and provides a place of fellowship as well. Our facility provides a place for worship, for fellowship, and a recent renovation has helped to enhance our ministry and outreach to those in need among our church family and the community at large. In Acts, we see a community devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of the bread, which is a reference to the Lord's Supper. As the church, we are called to belong to something different than what the world asks us to belong to. In our world, we're told to compete with one another, to covet what others have. In our world, we are taught and told to see some people as expendable, because scarcity is the driving force that there must be winners and that there must be losers. And that is theft, death, and destruction that we're invited to belong to and to accept as the only way in which we can live in this world. And we are seduced by the empty promises of thieves and bandits. So are we to listen to the thieves and bandits of this world, or do we listen to the teachings of the apostles and the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Our good shepherd overcomes the death and destruction of this world in laying down his life. And then Jesus shows us a new way, calls us to embody paradise now, so that people may encounter heaven today through the love of the body of Christ that is shared to all. In the book of Ezekiel, we have images that give comfort and hope to exiles. A vision of paradise that is restored and tended to by a shepherd. And in Ezekiel, the shepherd found that those that were missing and saved them from danger. The shepherd fed them on mountains and took them to the good water and grazing land. The sick and injured, it's a beautiful image of a shepherd that cares for us now, that cares for the world and the community today, a hope that we can cling to in the future, but also a promise we can live into in the present. Brock and Parker write this: when Christians gathered to share the bread of heaven, partaking in the Eucharistic feast, they entered the most concentrated form of paradise on earth, where living and dead communed with the risen Christ, and the banquet of abundance was spread for all. From feasting in paradise, they took strength to embody ethical grace in the world that God so generously loved. That's a description of how the early church lived. So the early church did not reduce the gospel to just information about Jesus. They did not reduce it to a solo endeavor in which we can live in a world and listen to thieves and bandits and remained unchanged by the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, the voice of our good shepherd, calls us to turn from a world that relishes in the death and destruction of others in order for the few to be filled, to con others in believing that they too can be among the elite if they just turn a blind eye to the injustice and just look out for themselves, ironically, not only hurting their own self-interests in the long run, but also the self-interests of our neighbor. We are called to something different, and the voice of the Good Shepherd is calling us away from that, calling us to a new way of being human that involves living in a community around the teaching of the apostles, fellowship and the breaking of the bread, the word and sacrament. The Good Shepherd is leading us to abundant life now. Today, the voice of our Good Shepherd calls us together in Christian community to encounter the living God, to encounter heaven breaking in, and through all that is shared collectively, to be given to the community so that they may have life in abundance. In our response to a gracious God, we're giving people a tangible encounter with the concept of abundant life that our Good Shepherd desires for all. Because we hear a different voice here. We hear a voice from the Good Shepherd that says, you are forgiven. We hear the voice from our Good Shepherd that says, you belong. We hear the voice of a Good Shepherd that says, you are welcomed at my table. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Can we cling to this image of the shepherd that calls us back to paradise today? Because the shepherd image is not new, right? Like, this isn't a radical concept. It's common in church life. But do we really hold the implications of it in high regard? We even call, like, the congregation the flock, right? And the ordained minister, the pastor, the shepherd. But do we take seriously the impact of what that means for us today? Or do we just expect pastors to grow congregations and tell them what they want to hear? Do congregations want to share with one another in the community? Or are they looking out for themselves, hoarding what they have for a rainy day? Are we really invested in embodying the justice that God calls us to? Listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd. Listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd that is speaking through the lives and witness of the oppressed and marginalized in our world. Or are we content with the status quo because we are invested in the competition that wants to grow and maintain numbers, to keep people happy, and to keep up that oppression and that marginalization? In doing so, we are not taking seriously the voice of the Good Shepherd. The community that we see in Acts chapter 2 is a community that saw abundant life as a reality in the present. And when we receive the good news that the love of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, is more than enough, then we will respond in ways both individually and collectively that give witness to God's grace in the world, that seeks to lift up the lowly and connect others in this world with a glimpse of heaven. Join to Christ and in communion with one another. In word and sacrament, we participate in a banquet of abundance. We feast in paradise right now. And our Lord is sending us into a world that He loves as we rejoice in this abundant life that we have received. No longer captive to scarcity and fear, but generosity and hope. For in hearing and trusting in the voice of our Good Shepherd, we know that the love that we share never diminishes. It only grows. And we can see abundant life flourish in this world. One of my favorite parts of the Easter Vigil is it says that the light that we share only grows. You ever light candles, right? And pass them out? It just keeps lighting up the room. It never diminishes. That's the theology of abundance that we cling to. And that's the generous love of God that we share. It will never be scarce. It will only grow and spread. We cling to this hope and promise of abundant life today and abundant life forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, like God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You are the shepherd who gathers us in your mighty and loving arms. Help your church to listen for your voice, especially when the voices of sin, adultery, and oppression threaten to overpower us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God. The green pastures, still waters, and dark valleys of this earth all belong to you, O Lord. Sustain your creation with a love that is both mighty and just. Where there is destruction, bring healing. Where there is desolation, bring abundance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You proclaim shepherding love, comfort, and protection for all people and all of creation. Direct leaders in our own time to learn from your example and instruction. Give them servant hearts that they generously seek the good of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You journey with us wherever our paths may lead. We pray for those feeling overwhelmed by anxiety or depression or suffering in any way, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Maddie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. The sheep gate that gives safety to your beloved flocks. Provide protection for refugees, victims of domestic violence, those who are imprisoned, and all people who are vulnerable to violence and mistreatment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call your sheep by name and lead them through the valley of death. We give you thanks for those who have died and now dwell in your house forever. Be with those who mourn and give them hope in the promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may share with one another a sign of God's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. Now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his holy supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to call forward anyone helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in children's church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine. I'll be in the center with the consecrated host. There'll be one station for grape juice on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive, take a glass cup as you come forward to the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.